On behalf of North Bradley Baptist Church, it's a great pleasure to welcome you all to this year our Zoom side-by-side service. My name's Catherine, and I'm the women's worker here at North Bradley. And later on in the service, Richard is going to be sharing a short and encouraging message for us all. As a church, we know that for many, Christmas isn't a time of great joy. It's a time of tears and suffering and sorrow. If we're honest, it's a time of dread, and we can't wait for it to be over. Perhaps this year, more than other years, COVID has brought a whole new array of struggles, or perhaps the existing struggles that we had have become far more acute. Is a time that we particularly feel the deep, deep loss of loved ones who are no longer with us. The acute sense of loneliness is just far more profound, of shattered dreams and the regret of bad choices we know we've made. Perhaps we feel more than ever the despair of not belonging or the reminder of rejection, of betrayal from someone close. Perhaps the pain of family conflict that has gone on for another year feels especially hard, or the reality for ourselves or for a loved one. Maybe the frustration of delayed plans is really, really burdening us, or the spiraling debt that seems to be maybe the anxiety of an uncertain year ahead is what is gripping us. But suffering comes in lots and lots of different ways, doesn't it? More suffering than joy. Our prayer is that tonight we might be able to offer some comfort and some hope to you as we join together side by side in the midst of this life. Let me pray before we sing our first song. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that we can greatest burdens of our heart to you. Thank you that because you know us, you know them already before we even speak a word to you, but you love it when your precious children come to you. Thank you that at Christmas we can remember particularly just the time Emmanuel, God with us, as the time that you sent your son Jesus to enter into the messiness of our lives, fully God and fully man. Thank you that Jesus coming to be with shows us that he is not distant, he is present, he is active, and he loves us. We only need to look at the cross to have a sense of just how love for us is. So I pray that you will help us as we consider Jesus during this service, and I pray that you will just help us to know more about Jesus and what he is like and what he promises and how he will walk with us through all of the suffering that we struggle with, and bring the hope of a life where there will be no more tears or suffering or sorrow, but also comfort and compassion now in the midst of suffering. So help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The song is a well-known carol, and it's a song that tells some of the story of that first Christmas, that night where God's son, Jesus, came into our broken world in a stable. Let's just sing that wonderful song, Silent Night. Christ the Saviour is born. What a wonderful line that we sang in that song. And it's just such a wonderful truth of Christmas, isn't it? But the reality is, when we suffer, we can look at the stable and that baby in the manger at Christmas, and we can think, well, what on earth has that got to do with what I'm experiencing now? It becomes a sentimental Christmas that perhaps we just pack away with the Christmas tree and just forget. It just becomes, the connection to Jesus just becomes very, very distant. The reality is we live in a dark and broken world. Those shadows deepen as suffering goes on more and more each day. We long for things to be different, don't we? And that crib can become so meaningless. But we can't fully understand the Christmas crib until we connect it to Calvary's cross. Because when we do, that's when We see the light shining in the dark. Deep and dark those shadows become as we suffer. It can't prevent the light from getting through because that light is Jesus. And he promises that one day he's going to make, as the Christmas crib points to Calvary's cross, that is where Jesus brings wholeness and restoration for us now. But he also brings the promise of that has no more tears or suffering or sorrow. Isn't that a wonderful hope for us to cling to and remember as we look at that baby in the manger and connect the cross back to Calvary's cross? I'm just going to read something now from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah 55. And some of the themes that this passage talks about are in his short talk later on. So let me read now Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9. It says this. Come, all you come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give it, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples or of all the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. Because of the Lord your God, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon for my thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts. Richard's going to pick up on that theme of thirst and longings in a short while, because suffering brings those deep longings of our soul to the surface. The things that we most long for, our biggest desires, aren't the sort of things that we can put on a Christmas list and can be purchased and put under a tree, are they? But the tree, his life purchased for our life, gives us the gift of eternal life and forgiveness in him. And that can fully satisfy the needs that any of us may have. When we suffer, we need someone who is bigger and more powerful than us, don't we? We want someone who knows us, who loves us, who understands. And the good news is that we have that in Jesus, because Jesus, the suffering servant, he suffered. He knows what it is to suffer. He understands the experience. He isn't distant. He's come near. That Christmas cradle shows God Emmanuel has come close to us. And he pursues us. He cares. He is active. And our suffering deeply, deeply matters to him. He stores every tear that we shed in a bottle. Not one is unnoticed by him. He holds us and helps us in our despair. With his everlasting arms, he carries us through the storms of life. And through the cross, we can have a personal and in ourselves with Jesus. And through that relationship with him, we can have a certain hope that our present sufferings will not last. One day, they will all truth cuts through the darkness of our suffering. And it brings hope. Because as we trust in him and all that he promises, our struggles might not go away. But as we travel through those struggles and that suffering with him, we see things with a heavenly gaze. And we know that our helper is with us always, and he will never leave us or forsake us. In a moment song, it's a familiar tune, but the words have been rewritten to capture the wonders of the Christmas crib and Calvary's cross. As Jesus came near with grace of his people. And the song talks about how as we look to the Star of Bethlehem and see all of God's promises unfold, even in the midst of suffering, we can give glory to King Jesus, who satisfies the deepest longings of our soul and who promises to travel the brokenness of life alongside us. Before, I want to just spend a few moments, all of us, in silent prayer. I think it would be, it would be good to just silently bring our thoughts to God about the things that we have here all the time, and just talk to him about them. He knows them all already, but let's talk to him about them, and let's connect the struggle that we're going through in their hearts to who he is and what he promises us in the midst of that struggle. And as we do, we access more and more of his grace and mercy. So let's just spend a few prayer before we sing. Just before Richard comes up to speak to us, let's join together and sing our next song, All Creatures of Our God and King, the Advent version.
Of our God and King, come to his cradle now and sing. Oh, praise him, hallelujah, thou angel host with golden beam, thou Christmas star with silver. grace and mercy has come down. Oh, praise Him.
For those who don't know me, my name's Richard. I'm part of the leadership team here at North Bradley Baptist Church. And it's good to be able to share with you today. Obviously, it's different Zoom, or perhaps you're watching on YouTube. But this service is particularly aimed at encouraging those for whom Christmas is a difficult time of year. Earlier on, this service is from Isaiah 55. These verses are an invitation to those who are hungry and thirsty. And the theme of thirst is threaded right through as an actual physical human condition. It's something we've all experienced, haven't we? We know what it is to thirst. We know the wonderful satisfaction suggestion of a clear cold drink when we're parched. The Bible's use of this picture goes far beyond purely physical thirst. It speaks of far deeper spiritual longings, speaks of desire for wholeness and restoration. And perhaps in this year of the COVID pandemic, we've become even more acutely aware of our thirst, deepest longings, as our normal way of life has been turned completely upside down. We've been cut off, haven't we, from our relationships, our normal activities. For many for many key workers, they've been under great pressure. And for some, there's been anger and frustration as the rules have blocked us from meeting other people, blocked us even worship. But even leaving aside the pandemic and everything that's brought into our lives, I think many of us can feel that daily struggle of living in home for this world to be restored. We experience the reality of our aging or failing bodies. We long for physical wholeness. We experience relationships or bereavement or those relationships that we've always longed for and dreamed of in our lives, but for one reason or another have never experienced. And we long for true intimacy and belonging. We look around and we see oppression and lies and cruelty, and we long for justice, a fair society. The pandemic is new, but these sorts of longings are not new, are they? To the New Testament, it's no surprise to see the theme of thirst continuing. And perhaps we see this theme repeated most clearly in John's Gospel. John says, doesn't he, signs was the turning of water into wine for the benefit of thirsty guests and to save the host embarrassment. At a well, Jesus met a special outcast and he offered to give her a drink that was more satisfying than just water from the well. And on the last day of a great national feast, Jesus stands up in the magnificent temple and cries out these words that you can find in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The baby in the manger grew up to experience what it is to be a human being in a broken world. He understands us and he understands our longings. Because Jesus is hurting people. He's seen disease and death and broken relationships up close and personal. They affected him. He's seen the full range of human suffering. He understands the deep longings that we all have for restoration, for health, for wholeness. And he says these astonishing words, "If anyone thirsts, me and drink." Jesus claimed to be able to satisfy the deepest longings of all who would come to him. Come to him in the sense of knowing and trusting his and his ways. Come to him in the sense of acknowledging that we are weak and needy. Come to him in the sense of putting our relationship with him central, above everything else. But perhaps you hear this and you think, what on earth does Jesus have to do with what I'm facing right now? Is Jesus simply offering to say, is he encouraging us to bring our sickness and our empty relationships and our dashed dreams to him so that he can give us the things that we long 4? Well, it is what Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He certainly can heal. He certainly can restore the most hopeless marriage. He can certainly restore relationship. Sometimes, as we trust and follow Jesus, he shows us firsthand that he is able to do far more than all that we ask or think. John's gospel, Jesus is saying something more, something deeper. He's saying, come to me and drink. Not come to me and I will. Jesus is offering us himself. He is the drink. But as we wrestle with that, in the midst of the pain and the messiness of our lives and comes up for us, is Jesus enough? Is what he's offering enough for what I'm going through right now? So let me briefly give three ways it's enough, even as we live out our lives in the midst of a broken world. His love is enough. His comfort is enough. Power is enough. So firstly, his love is enough. If someone we didn't know randomly ran up to us in the street and said, I probably wouldn't find that a very heartwarming experience, would we? Why not? Because the expression of love to another person carries the assumption that we know something. It's that knowledge that makes a declaration of love meaningful. Any love requires knowledge, doesn't it? And the more we know someone, the more significant a declaration is. And perhaps our fear can often be that if anyone knew what we were really like on the inside, that they couldn't possibly love us. But Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth, and he created us, every one of us, before the foundation of the world. We were in his mind. He knows us through and through. He sees our selfishness. He knows all of our thoughts. He knows our weaknesses. And wonder of wonders, he sees all of that. And he, if you've called out to Jesus for mercy and forgiveness, then he has promised to love you every day of your life. He's promised to be with you in death, safely to the glorious new creation where he will live forever with his people. Now, knowing that fact doesn't remove our struggles. Is of life, we can trust that the love of Jesus is an absolute, unshakable truth. But it's one thing to hear as a dry fact that Jesus loves me. It's to feel that love in our own hearts. This becomes more real and precious to us than anything else, because Jesus' love is more powerful and rich than any other love. In suffering, we can feel so isolated. But to be known, to be understood, and to be loved so intensely that Jesus gave means that his love is enough. It's enough for time, it's enough through death, it's enough into eternity. And secondly, his comfort is in. The character of Jesus is such that when he sees the suffering of his people, gut-wrenching compassion rises up in him. He can no more ignore the tears of his parent who could ignore the cries of a child who's just fallen over and skinned their knee. you share in Jesus? Have you cried out to him with that sort of Jesus is listening, even he responds. Now, this might sound hollow. Perhaps you look at the situation that's changed since the first day that you cried out, but he is right by your side, his arms around you. He's working even now to minister to you, to bring you into a deeper relationship with him, perhaps to bring hope and comfort to others who are suffering too. Every tear that you have shed has been seen by him. It's as if he has seen each tear. That's how precious your tears are to Jesus. And we see in the Gospels that time and time again, Jesus goes to those whose situations seem the most painful, intense our difficulties, the more Jesus comes to our aid. Often when our troubles are at their darkest, that can be the time that we feel the most. Please, do not doubt that Jesus is working to bring you comfort, maybe directly, maybe through other people. He could not bear to keep himself aloof from your suffering. His comfort is enough. Thirdly and finally, his power is enough. Maybe as Christmas draws near each year, you just can't continue on into another year. You feel you just can't face anymore the accumulation of suffering, disappointed hopes and weariness. And you feel like you've just come to the end of your natural resources. You've got no strength left, nothing left to give. And there's no denying, is there, that this is an experience. We want to feel that we have the natural resources to deal with the problems that we face in life. But if we are aware that we have no strength, to know the Saviour Jesus, this is actually the place where we can find rest. The Apostle Paul knew this experience of being beyond his strength. He wrote that the very sentence of death itself. But the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." As we see human power in this world, it's an ugly thing. It's often used, isn't it, to maintain control, to oppress, to violate, to put people down, to keep people. But the power exercised by the Lord Jesus, it comes alongside to carry the weak. It comes from underneath to lift up the oppressed and the vulnerable that the Lord Jesus offers to those who cry out to him in their desperate need. He's got no limitations. No one is able to snatch you away from him. He is for you, and his power is enough for every situation. So as we conclude 2020, has been hard, hasn't it? Maybe harder than for the year. It's been humbling to see how our technologically advanced society has been brought to a shuddering halt by this virus. But perhaps for you, every year, and the pandemic has just brought yet another aspect to your ongoing struggle. Maybe our experience of 2020 has intensified our longings for healing, things to be made right, and ultimately for the new heavens and the new earth that will be brought in when Jesus returns. Jesus understands our thirst and our longings of need, and he gives us himself. As we grow in our knowledge and trust of him, he transforms our longings as our hearts learn to desire differently. Himself. There was a cost for Jesus to pay. As we come to the end of John's Gospel, there's a further mention of thirst. That was gasp on the cross as he hung naked, racked with pain, every shred of dignity gone. "I thirst," he said. The one who is the very thirsted on that cross, betrayed by his friends, cut off from his father, physically tormented, he knew what it was to thirst. And as he thirsted his mind, he endured that cross for the joy that was set before him, a joy where he could be with his people in the new creation. Every hurt healed, every tear wiped away. May we know the love of Jesus this Christmas. May we know his comfort. May we know his power to the good things that Jesus has prepared for those who love him, both now and in eternity. We're going to close with a song that on many of the themes of brokenness that we've been thinking about. Anxieties, loneliness, thirst, painful memories. But this song also speaks of the Jesus, the innocent Son of God, who offered his life as a sinless sacrifice. His death in our place, so that we love his comfort and his power that we've been thinking about. Through his death and resurrection, the Lamb what a hope that gives us in a dark world.
Mistakes we can't forget, and the sins that still beset. We have a Lamb for our fault and anxious world, the fears that overwhelm. We have a throne. We have a throne. We sing worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain for loyal.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.